Just like to read a verse in Daniel chapter 5, verse 21. Daniel chapter 5, verse 21. And this has to do, this account with Nebuchadnezzar. And I'd like to read verse 21. And he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, his dwelling place with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, and this is the phrase, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Solomon said in verse 7, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. God approaches Solomon, and Solomon has a right, a proper assessment of who God is. That it's God who has established him. You know, we need to know, not only have a proper assessment of ourselves as nothing, but also how great God is. And that the fact that it's God who has put Solomon in this place, God could have chosen to do something else. And yet here's God is asking him, you ask of me, what do you want, Solomon? And Solomon had to say to himself, you know, this is the same God that set David up. And when David was dying, David said to Solomon, listen, it's your time now. You need to be a man. You need to walk according to the commandments of Moses. And God comes to him and he said, listen, I would be foolish to think that I'm something. Right? And I think that this is, as we've been saying, where we need to, you know, on a daily basis, understand. You know, why do we pray instead of call 911? Because the man or woman that's coming in to help us may not have wisdom from God. The reason why we can still pray for food, even though there's a refrigerator full of food, is because it's God that enables, whether it's our parents and me, to have the energy to work and put food there. And if God just simply takes that away, touches you with the finger of God, you get a little problem with your hip or your head, and you can't work, you'll see that there's no groceries there. You don't have energy to dial 911. So Solomon understood his place before God. And then he could understand his place also in the midst of the people. It wasn't a boastful Solomon. He looked out upon amongst these people and he said, how is it possible that natural wisdom is going to deal with these great people? It's only wisdom that's going to come from the same God who is asking me, tell me, what should I give you, Solomon?
What made these people the great people? Was it the number? Is that what he means in verse 8? He calls them a great people. Then he gives me a description about them. He doesn't tell me why they're great. They're not great because they cannot be numbered. I'm reading it wrong if I'm reading it that way. They're a great people, and the truth was about them, they couldn't be numbered for the multitude of them. Look at the end of, well, let's read verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding or a discerning heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between them good and bad. For who is able to judge, look at this, this thy so great a people? What made them great was the fact that they belonged to the living God. They may have been a sinful people. They may have been a failing people. They may have been people with many problems, but they were the people of God. And this man realized, for what has been given me to do, I need God-given ability to be able to do it. If we go the other way, we make the emphasis upon Israel, that they were great for some reason other than the fact that they belonged to the living God. Go ahead.
It's interesting, though. You look at his prayer, and it's just, his prayer is just one of dependence. And we always ask, why do we pray before we dial 911? It's dependence. upon the Lord. And in today's society, it's be independent, make decisions for yourself, be your own man, do whatever you want to do. And that's the complete opposite of Christianity. It's look to the Lord for first. Look to what He would want you to do. Pray. Be in His things. And it's not living for yourself. It's living for the Lord. And that's what he wanted to do. And the Lord asks him, ask what you want. The Lord knew his heart, that it was for the people of God. His request, it's, he had the people in mind. That's who he was thinking about. He wasn't thinking about later in his future, down the road, he would be able to have great riches and all these things, but he wanted the people of God. He looked for their benefit, and that's who he really cared about. He loved Jehovah. He loved the people of God, and that's really where the focus of his desire was. That's where his heart was, and it's just encouraging to see that. And he was able to depend upon the Lord because he loved the Lord, and he knew how great the Lord is because he saw how great the Lord's people were.
I was just going to say something along the same lines about just how Solomon's heart and his desires really were for the people of God, and that's what God wants from us nowadays. It's interesting because I think we have the exact same invitation in verse 5 as we do in the New Testament, in John 14, John 16, where we're told to ask anything in His name and receive it, and joy may be full. And specifically in Matthew 18, you have more of the Lord brings out His desire for us to pray collectively and for the people of God, and to realize that this is a great, a great body, a great bride that we need to be concerned for. That's so He makes a specific promise in chapter 18 that if two or three of you agree on anything, it will be given you of my Father in heaven. So it is His desire that our desire would be for the people of God. And it is a great people.
Why don't we spend about 10 minutes? We have about 10 left, am I right? Maybe not quite that many. On the Lord's response to him.
Could I just quickly ask, Chuck, why doesn't Solomon ask for intelligence? Because you think that if he's going to lead this great people, he needs intelligence. Why doesn't he ask for that?
Probably already had it. He's the king's son. He's probably very well educated. But that doesn't get you far when you're a king. He was asking to lead the Lord's people in intelligence, reason, and no offense to math, but logic doesn't help you when you're dealing with heavenly and divine things. And this is a divine people.
So, David, you're bringing the difference out between intelligence and discernment.
Well, not only the discernment, but it comes out in the matter of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says an understanding heart. And that will bring in discernment ultimately. But it is, and I think John introduced us to that this morning when we were talking about Hannah. It's a matter of the heart and not the intellect.
The head.